Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 4 this evening. I've got a short sort of an introduction to the next section before we get into our business meeting. Let's take John chapter 1 now. And I want to read to you verses 14 through 18. And it reads like this. And this is the record of John. Now that word record right there could be translated testimony. This is the record or the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." Now, who can tell me what the theme of the Gospel of John is now? The divinity of Christ. Good. The Gospel of John is about the deity or the divinity of Christ. Christ is the Son of God. And John is trying to show in his Gospel that Jesus, this man that you see with flesh and bones and all the organs of a human being, that he is actually God himself. And that's why in the opening verses of John, he states that Jesus Christ is actually the Word of God who existed before creation. And it says he was with the Father. That shows that he's his own separate person, separate personality. He was with God the Father. But the issue is that he existed before creation. He was with the Father, and then to make sure that you understand, John says, "And he was God." Not only that, but he created all things in verse 3. So, and there was nothing made that was not made by him. So he is the creator of every created thing. And in verse 4, he's the source of life. Now, who else could be the source of life but God? Only God is the source of life, and it's Jesus that is the source of life. Not only that, he's the source of light. Light is closely associated with knowledge and truth. And all knowledge and wisdom and truth ultimately comes from Christ. Even the laws of science were made by him and fashioned by him. So we have a very good summary of the eternal Word of God in the very first verses of this Gospel. But then we have the amazing account of this eternal God coming into the world. Take a look at verse 9. It says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." I believe there that the "cometh into the world" modifies the true light. There is the true light that came in the world. And it also, that's certainly the doctrine that is taught here in verse 11. He came, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own. So you see this idea that he's coming into the world. And furthermore, in verse 14, we have the same idea. "And the Word was made flesh." So God became a human being. That word "flesh" there, you remember what it means? Doesn't mean necessarily skin and bones, But what does the word flesh mean? Human nature. The whole human nature. Everything that goes into making a man, that's what the flesh usually refers to. And so God became flesh. It did include flesh and bones, of course. But it included all of the things that make a man, except, of course, for sin. Jesus was not born with a sin nature, and He never sinned. But in all other ways, He was just exactly like human beings. He was a human being with a human nature. So He became a man in every sense of the word, except without a sin nature. And this is the great truth that the Apostle John is trying to convey in his gospel. He's trying to convince us that this man, Jesus, is actually God incarnate. And then he says, we beheld His glory. Now, when he says we there, who do you think he means? We beheld His glory. Who do you think? I would say that he's referring to collectively the disciples. Obviously, you and I weren't there, and many people did not see Jesus, but John says, we saw Him, we beheld, and so he's undoubtedly speaking, lumping himself with the other disciples, and he says, we beheld, and he is saying that we beheld His glory. He's saying we saw Him day after day. We slept with Him. We ate with Him. We walked the land with Him. We did everything with Him. We observed this man, Jesus. And we beheld His glory. What he's saying is he's testifying. And he's telling us, look, we saw Him. And we saw His divinity. Day after day, we saw His divinity shining through the flesh and bones. We heard Him speak, and we heard His divinity. We saw His miracles, so we saw His glory. We saw how He lived His life, and this man was God. That's what John is saying. We beheld His glory. Now, in this Gospel of John, it is almost like we are in a courtroom. And I can relate to that. And the Apostle John is the attorney. And he has just made his opening statement. And in his opening statement, he told us, he told Judge, that Jesus is God. He existed before creation. He made the worlds. And so John has made his opening statement. And now the judge says, okay, John, you may put on your evidence. And in one sense, you'll sort of notice that the book of John now is going to be a book of evidence about proving that Jesus was, in fact, God. And who do you think is the first witness that John the Apostle calls? John the Baptist. John the Baptist, come to the stand, please. Let's hear what you say about Jesus Christ. So what we're going to do here for a few minutes. Now, the next section in the Gospel of John is about this man, John the Baptist. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to sort of review who this man is. Who is John the Baptist? And I would say that even though the information is sketchy, yet there is quite a bit about him from the Scriptures that we should know as sort of an introduction to the next section. First of all, let me ask you this. Was John the Baptist found in the Old Testament? Yes, he was. I'd like for you to take a look at Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. And it says there, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In fact, even the next verse, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. That language comes back in the New Testament in reference to John the Baptist. So there's a clear reference there. Looking in retrospect, we see that that was talking about this man, John the Baptist, that would come and make the path straight for the king. There's another place in the Old Testament, and it's found in, let's look at Luke chapter 1. I thought that was an Old Testament passage, but let's take a look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 7, let's take a look at that. Luke 1:7 says, and they had no child. I just wrote down the wrong verse is what I did. It's actually an Old Testament passage. Let me read the verse to you, and maybe some of you know where this is at. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. I know where that's at. It's in Malachi. Take a look at Malachi. I believe it's Malachi 3:2. No, it's 3:1. Malachi 3:1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So there you have in Malachi, the last book of the Bible, it's promising to send a messenger that shall prepare the way for Christ. And of course, when it says that this person shall come to the temple, to his temple, that's talking about Christ, probably referring to when he marched in there and overturned the money changers' tables and so forth. So it's fairly specific. So John was the subject of prophecy in the Old Testament. Now there's some other things that we know about this John the Baptist. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. I don't know whether you remember that, but Luke 1:15. Luke 1:15. And it tells us there, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. So that would demonstrate that there was something special about this man. Remember, Paul said in the book of Galatians that he was separated from his mother's womb. So apparently there was some control even on Paul's life. But there was a special filling of the Holy Spirit of the John the Baptist, even from his mother's womb. Take a look at John 1:6, and we see another thing about John the Baptist. He was a man sent from God. You see that? John 1:6. This would indicate that God somehow spoke to John. We don't know. He doesn't specify how this happened. But apparently God had a meeting with John and told him what he was to do. And so John was sent from God. John had a purpose. Take a look at Matthew 3:3. We'll see what the purpose of John was. Matthew 3:3 says, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So there was a preparatory ministry that was needed before the coming of Christ, and John the Baptist was the man. Now in this verse here, it seems that Christ is pictured as the king, And back in those days, when the king would come, when a king would come to town, you would go out and fill in all the potholes and cover up the roads and make sure that they were smooth and good for traveling. And this, in a spiritual sense, is what John the Baptist did. He came preaching repentance, and masses of people began to think about their heart condition and so forth. And this prepared the way for the Savior to come behind him. So he had a purpose. It was preparatory. Does anything, anybody know anything about John the Baptist's family? What was his father's occupation? He was a priest. Zacharias, remember? Zacharias was a priest. And so John apparently grew up in a Levitical, in the tribe of Levi. And his father was a priest. Anybody remember what Zacharias did in the temple? What was his main duty? Pardon? Well, he served in the temple, but he did something very specific. He kept the incense burning. That was his specific job. I believe that's in Luke 1, 8 and 9. I'm sorry? Before John's birth, yes, he was smitten and he was dumb, I guess you'd say. He couldn't speak for a while. At any rate, he was a priest, and this is the environment that John apparently grew up in. All of us probably know something about John's attire. I always thought that he was just a freak, that no one else dressed like that, but only he did. But in studying through this and looking back what other people say about the times, apparently that was just the raiment of the poor. And John the Baptist dressed and conducted himself along with the same culture of the poor. And so he associated himself with the poor of the land. It says he wore camel's hair. His meat was locusts and wild honey. Now, that doesn't sound appetizing to us. However, that was a normal, kosher even, food at that time. And it was the food of the poor, of course. But they that's what they did eat. And that was what he grew up doing. He was a very humble man, apparently. He didn't desire to live with the rich. Rather, he made his house with the poor. And he was content with such a lifestyle. Now let's take a look at our text here in John chapter 1. And we're going to find that there is a certain occasion here in John 1:19. And this is the testimony, you might say, of John when the Jews... Now, when this word, the Jews, is used in the book of John and a lot of the times in the New Testament, it's talking about the adversarial group. It's not talking about the Jews in a good sense, but it's talking about really the main adversary of Jesus Christ. And so the same is true here. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" So the occasion here then, let me just point out, that this is after Jesus' baptism in this gospel account. This is not before Christ's baptism. Christ has already been baptized. Christ has already gone to be tempted, because you're going to see the next day, starting down in verse 29, he's going to actually see the Lamb of God, and he's going to point him out. And Jesus is walking there where John is baptizing there. But that's after, apparently, Jesus was baptized before. And after Jesus has been baptized and gone to be tempted, John is still there at the River Jordan, and he is baptizing. And apparently, the Jews sent a delegation. You'll notice that they sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to find out what was going on. Now, you might remember from the book of Hebrews that not all the Levites were priests. Did you have to be a son of Aaron to be a priest? So there were some of the Levitical tribe that were priests. The others were just sort of staffers. But the priests themselves was more narrow than just the Levites. But here you see that there's a delegation of priests and staffers, Levites, from Jerusalem. They came to find out what was going on. Apparently John was becoming famous at this time, and many people were flocking to see him, and he was having some impact among the people. He was having actually a great impact among the people there, and many were being baptized. And many people apparently were wondering, is John the Baptist the Christ? This is how great an impact he was having among the people at this time. And so in Luke 3:15, many people were wondering if he was the Christ. And so the Jews sent out spies, basically, out to find out about this man, John. Now, I want you to notice, can you tell me what two questions they asked John when they came? Start in verse 19 and down through verse 25 and tell me what two questions they asked. The first, who art thou in verse 19? And after John answers that, basically John is going to answer and say, I'm not Christ. Then they're going to ask him another question in verse 25. And what is that? Why then are you baptizing? Now that's an interesting subject right there. Apparently, they thought that baptizing would start when Christ came. However, John began to baptize before Christ came. We'll get into that a little bit about the nature of John's baptism and so forth. But at any rate, they asked John, first of all, who art thou in verse 19? And obviously he denied that he was Christ. He said, I am not the Christ. And they asked them, what then, art thou Elias? Of course, Elias is another word for Elijah. And he said, I am not. And he said, art thou that prophet? And the question is, what does he mean by that prophet? A lot of people think it goes back to Moses speaking in the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses referred to a coming prophet. But that prophet that Moses referred to was Christ himself. But they probably had that all confused. Remember, these are unbelievers. Their knowledge of the Scriptures is probably not all that deep to begin with. And so they're asked, they came to John, they said, are you the Christ? No, not the Christ. Are you Elijah? No, not Elijah. Are you that prophet? No, not that prophet. So then they drop down in verse 25 and they say then, well, why are you baptizing then? Apparently they thought that only those men, the Christ or Elijah or the prophet, had the authority to baptize. And so they're asking John why he's baptizing. Well, let's go ahead and read this passage. And starting in verse 19, it says, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then, art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Have you heard that phrase? That was Isaiah 40, wasn't it? Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So that was an astounding statement right there. I'm not sure that they understood. But he said, look, I am the one that was promised that is going to come and make straight the way for the coming Messiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why do you baptize then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. Now, whatever John was doing in baptizing people, what he did in answering this question was he minimized the importance of what of his baptism compared to the baptism that Christ was going to bring, didn't he? He said, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now we're going to see in a few moments, or a few maybe Sunday morning, that Jesus came and baptized with the Spirit. He baptized with the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So John sort of compares, his baptism was just a dunking in some water. But the one that's coming after me is going to baptize you unto salvation. And that's, he referred to it as baptizing with the Holy Spirit. I think that there is a difference between John's baptism and the baptism that came about later. Because remember, there were some of John's disciples that were rebaptized, you remember? And so there must be some distinction. Obviously, John's baptism was a pre-Christ baptism. After Christ came, perhaps, you know, baptism takes on another significance, but we'll talk some about that. John's baptism was a baptism under repentance. And it certainly was a picture of something that was going on in the heart. And so we'll take a look at some of that.